I'm going through.
Me too. Praise the Lord. We're delighted that God has watched over us, cared for us, and blessed us to be able to drive in the snow and come to his house, fellowship one with another, sing praises, and worship him as we worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a good God. He's a loving God. And he's a forgiving God. Is there a song that says, I feel good? Or that's just a statement that people make sometimes. I feel good. Praise the Lord. I want to talk a few minutes so you don't let you know ahead of time. Just a few minutes, so you can stay awake. Just a few minutes. As we come to the close of yet another year that God has blessed us, God has blessed us to come to, with life, health, and strength, and prayerfully sound mind. There are some areas that I'd like to touch on this month, starting with the home. Home and heaven. We get accustomed to what home life is like on planet Earth. We're born, and we become old enough to become knowledgeable enough to know where we are as little children. We learn to love and respect home. There is a great deal of relating in speakers. When they talk about home, you quite often hear about heaven. The Bible shares with us that this is our sojourn, planet Earth. This is where we prepare ourselves. This is where we get ready to go and live with God himself forever, forever. Now, sometimes we get upset with family members, especially when we're growing up and get sisters and brothers. In heaven, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be heavenly. And we're going to be there because God blessed us to learn to live according to his instructions and his commandments. Without hesitation and without reservation. But we don't learn that in heaven. We manifest that principle in our life on planet Earth of putting God first, loving him, and obeying him. Those are the only people that's going to be invited to live with God forever in glory land. We often relate the home on heaven, home on earth, and heaven. Wonder what heaven's going to be like. Is it going to be like our home? Or is our home going to be like heaven? We have often heard the expression heaven on earth in reference to our physical homes on planet Earth. Home has the capability of using the finest experience or being the finest experience that we have ever had as human beings interacting with family members. Physical home and the spiritual home. And when I say spiritual home, I'm talking about the Church of Christ on planet Earth. Home has the capability of using the finest experience, as I said heretofore, being the finest experience. You look forward to going home to a happy home. We look forward to coming to the house of God and fellowshipping and worshiping him and fellowshipping with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes I wonder, why is it so difficult to encourage folk to come back to worship? To come to worship. And especially to come back into PM worship. What a wonderful experience it is. God has given us this privilege and this honor to worship Him on planet Earth. And if we're hesitant about doing that, why do we think that God will be overjoyed to bring you to spend an eternity with Him when we don't want to spend much time with Him on planet Earth? Look forward to it, because God keeps a record and He doesn't lose any of them. Writers have talked about home in song titles. Oh, they tell me of a home far away beyond the sky. Another song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. You didn't think I could sing, did you? Watch it. The relationship in the mind of man between heaven and home, it's not an accident. It's not accidental. This is another example of God's planning and His way of introducing a common vocabulary in our life between home, church, and heaven. Three prongs. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing whether to be absent from the body. Are you there? And to be where? Present at home with the Lord. And the Bible also says in John chapter 14, verse 2, we read of a house with many mansions. In my Father's house, that's what the Son said. And He ought to know because He came from there. So He didn't have to guess. In my Father's house are many mansions. Aren't you glad about that? Since there are many mansions, we don't have to worry about whether I will have mine and you will have yours. Oh, church, it's worth going to. These are just a few scriptural examples and references which indicate that heaven is a home. Our divine heavenly Father, is to be understood to be there 24/7, as the young people say. Our divine Father should be in every home, honored in every home. The hand of God operates every time a child is born. Every time goodness, loving experiences occur in the home, God is present. From this we see and we understand the grace God extends to homes. Even in homes that are challenged, folk can deal with their circumstances, deal with their issues in a way that they understand that they are dealing with another child of God. And God is expecting us to deal with each other because He is our Father, and we are dealing with one another as sisters to sisters and brothers to brothers and brothers and sisters. Oh, you get it. Yes, Christian's home could well be called the womb, W-O-M-B, the womb of God. That's where God get his children from. Are you all following me? He's not birthing any children in heaven. He's getting His children from planet Earth. Aren't you glad? I'm happy about that. Homes can be heavenly. Places you loved to get off and go. And I think if just about everybody in this audience, if I ask you a question, growing up as a child, did you enjoy skipping down the sidewalk and going home, especially when it's about dinner time? Praise the Lord. Most homes can be improved, that we don't question that. And even those that are considered as Christian homes can grow and develop. There is no end to how much we can develop. You notice even in other areas of our lives, at certain ages, we think we know it all. Then God bless us again a little bit older, say, I thought I knew it all yesterday. Praise God. Homes can develop. Homes can always be improved upon. And we should endeavor to do that. Prayerfully endeavor to enhance the relationships in the home. Let them manifest the fact that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father,
Let it be reflected that we are acting in such a way that God wants us to act and to bring us to glory. It's not just coming to worship service that we put on our good manners. We represent God wherever we are. And He expects us to represent Him wherever we are and in whatever we do. Now don't go to sleep yet. I'm almost finished. No father can contemplate the joy of his home as he plays with his children and observes how happy and how important his role is in that relationship with his children. He should also have a wonderful relationship by the grace of God with, seems like I'm putting it all on the man, isn't it? Well, you're the head of the house, you're the example setter. Amen. There is no organization or institution on planet Earth so favorably equipped as the home to provide one with security, with comfort, with rest, even in turbulent times, even when things aren't going very well, maybe out of a job, maybe sickness, whatever the case. One would be able to get peace, understanding, and love in spite of all of these other incidents. Jesus enjoyed, and the Bible took the time to let us know, Jesus enjoyed going to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So the question comes tonight. The question comes this morning. Does God delight in coming to your home today? A Christian home is to be joyful. A Christian home is a joy, should be a joy to be in. Always, all the members of the home always acting, talking in such a way that they respect and honor our Heavenly Father, who blesses us with the home and blesses us to have an understanding of how we are to live one with another. Heaven is home, really home to the people of God. But to the people of God also, we look forward to the eternal home that the Bible talks about. Even in challenges, we look forward to dealing with them here, but we also deal with them in such a way that we still have our eyes on making heaven our eternal home. We have our differences in the home, but we keep in mind that we have our eyes also on going to live with God, and God is watching us. We conduct ourselves even when we are upset about something or with one of the members of the family. We keep our eyes on the fact that I want to make heaven my home. I want to please God even in these circumstances. Good morning. Hello. It takes a lot of faith, trust in God, and development of spiritual depth to look forward past the single moments of challenge. Others look forward to that heavenly home when they will be rid, my notes say, rid of that un-Christ-like home member. I don't want to tell you I don't want to give you the two words that I have on my notes. But un-Christ-like to that home, that member in the family that doesn't seem to know how God wants us to live together on planet Earth as His children. The Christian knows that there is nothing on earth that can really be compared to our heavenly home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have what? We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, where? And how long? Eternal in heaven. the heavens. One day, we're going to leave this earthly home. We're going to move out of our earthly home. We're going to go on into eternity. So the big question is, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Now, God is not going to just leave us here because we say, hold on, God, I'm not ready yet. I'm not prepared yet. No. We don't know when the time is going to come in most cases. But we must live a prepared life. We don't know what time we're going to be, whether regarding the physical home or whether it's regarding the spiritual home, that is the church. We don't know when God is going to call us. Therefore, wisdom says, since we don't know when, we know the what, obey the what, and the when will take care of itself. Did you get that? Praise God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, I want to live in such a way that God is always in my heart and is reflected in my words and in my action. That should be our resolve, church. The fruit of our labor. Look at verse 25. But I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be to Christ, for it is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful. That's what one of the preachers said in the Bible. For you, when we reach the point in Christian development that Paul has reached in his spiritual development, we will have matured and we will be able to eat meat when we have matured. Handle any situation. Deal with any circumstance in such a way that God will be glorified and well pleased. Paul realized in his living and in his working with individuals, the Lord's church, he realized that there was a better home. There is a better home that he wanted to go to. We don't want to miss out on what Paul knew. And we don't want to miss out on God blessing us to develop the mindset that Paul had. Paul says the time of my departure is at hand, has come. And he was sure, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul was absolutely positively sure he was going out of this world, and there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, gives to each and every one that lives in such a way that he is well pleased. Home is far better. Homes is far better that God has waiting for us. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. And then he says something that glance shone off our hearts. He says, I go to do what? I go to prepare a place for you. Hello? Now, if we don't get there, it won't be Jesus' fault. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there. Not in the suburb, there. You will also be. Oh, church. Ain't that good news? There will be no tears. I think we sing a song. There will be no tears in heaven. There may not be that cantankerous person that you have to deal with on planet Earth in a godly way. In our heavenly home, death will not be there. Mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning will not be there. Crying will not be there. Sorrow won't even dare to show up there. There will be no pain. Many homes on the earth are marred with illness, pain, disease. That won't be there. Many homes on earth are blighted with sin. Even in the best of homes comes this intruder every now and again. The fornicator, the liar, the drunkard. It brings heartache. And it points out the fallibility of the temporal home. But these sins, nor thus these sins, nor sinners, will be in our heavenly home. I'm trying to share it with you in such a way that you will want to go and realize that it's worth paying the price, whatever that may be. It may be dealing with a contemporary mate. Deal with it. Why? God has something waiting for you. There, home with God. He is the Father. He's in charge. And it's a glorious place to be. There will be no tension there. There will be no sorrow. There will be no heartbreaks there. Heartbreaking there. The earthly purpose of an earthly home is to prepare us for the heavenly home. Let me get it again as we wrap this up. The earthly home is designed to prepare us to live with God in heaven, in a heavenly home. It is a training ground. Let me run that by you again, because I have something to make it, some more to say with that training ground. It is the training guy, the training ground designed by God. Listen now. I want you to get this because I'm going somewhere with it. It is the training ground designed by God for our earthly home beyond the sky. That being said, it should put each and every one of us on our determination and have a determined mind to live and act in such a way that God is in our home. That God is watching all that we do and listening to all that we say, and listen carefully to how we say it. In our physical home and in His home, in His house, in His church on planet Earth. So be careful how we deal one with another in the church and in our home. We sing the song, "There'll be no tears in heaven." That's true. We may shed a few here, but that won't be the case in Glory Land. Home, as I said heretofore, is the training ground designed by God for our ultimate home beyond the sky. I saw in the news just the other day that there's a country that has joined about 26 other countries who have said it's all right for same sex to get married. It might be all right where you are, but it's not all right where He is. And guess what? He's everywhere. The world is mine, and the fullness thereof. It doesn't matter how many things mankind put together. That is different from what God has said and how God has said it should be. It won't change anything. God is not going to change His word. He has given us this, the pattern, as to how we are to live our lives, and we are to so live, and such live according to the pattern, so that He will say at the final roundup of our human earthly journey, "Well done, our good and faithful servant." Fathers and mothers need to be especially engaged in the training of their children. We need to look constantly at our own lives and endeavor to improve them, because our children use our lives, our examples, in their life. So let us grown folks, mama and daddy, male and female, be careful how we conduct ourselves wherever we may be, including the home. You know, sometimes we might want to ask ourselves, not only do I want God to hear what I just said and how I just said it, I wonder if I wouldn't mind some of the elders be present when I said what I said and like I said it. Be careful. You see, I didn't go all the way. I just said one of the elders. But we know God listens to everything. God is everywhere and listen to everything. We as parents, let us be mindful of the fact that we should conduct ourselves before our children in such a way that God has instilled in us through the examples that He sets in dealing with us. The aspirations must be planted in their tender hearts to always honor God, love God. Parents might from time to time examine themselves. And I think they do. I think parents do. I pray, God, that our children will live their life in such a way that they want to go to heaven. Have they seen enough? Have they heard enough regarding spiritual characteristics in the earthly home that they will go, they will want to go and live with God? That way, that spiritual way that certain parents have shown in their home. That's wonderful. But be always mindful that they may grow up not wanting any part of home life because of the examples that they may have seen in their home growing up. On the other hand, they may love you. And the boy said, "I'm going to be just like my daddy when I get married to my wife. I'm going to come home with the paycheck and give her all the money." No, please. But I'm going to live my life in such a way that will honor God as my father did. I'm going to live my life in such a way that I'm going to honor my husband like my father. Honored all of us and our family. That kind of love should not cease when you close the door of where the family lives. This is a family.
This is the spiritual family of God. We are brothers and sisters. He's the Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We are to so live one with another as a family. If we can't get along down here, how in the name of our heaven do we expect God to bring us to heaven to feud, fuss, and fight up there? We sing a song. There will be no tears in heaven. We are praying and asking God and to bless us to so live in such a way that He is well pleased. Is it well pleasing for me to always set an example on a regular basis? Here sometimes, not here sometimes. You can count on me to be late at every service. Well, I just can't stand so-and-so. Well, if you can't stand so-and-so down here, how do you think God's going to bring y'all up to glory? We thank God. You say, Brother Brown, do you know something that I don't know about this church? I don't think so. But I know something that you might not know about people. We have a loving congregation here. We thank God for you, and we thank God for it. And one of the reasons that I'm preaching this type of sermon in this time of the year, we don't know what the future holds, but we know what? We know who holds the future, which says that we can continue to march doggedly on in the pathway of duty, relation to our Heavenly Father, and in our relationships, working together in His kingdom. Because we are God's children. And He expects us to work, to live on planet Earth together in love like my children. And He even gives us example about His love. He loves His Son. He sent Him here to help us. He loves us. Let us be mindful of that. Yes, we're going to have our differences. Because we go from 17 to 18. You understand that? 2017, if the Lord sees fit that we go to 18. There will be differences. But we will know how to be different. We will know how to differ. Why? Because we love God and we love one another. And we don't want to disappoint God or our brother and sister in Christ. We always want to work in such a way that we will love coming together. And if we don't love coming together, how in the name of our heaven are we going to be able to love going to heaven where we're going to live forever and never die? You don't have a responsibility in certain areas that I don't have. I have the same responsibility of being sure to so live in such a way that others are encouraging way to my brother and sister in Christ Jesus. You have the same responsibility to me. Being an example. And a loving brother or sister in Christ Jesus. Home molds, in many cases and in most cases, home molds the destiny of the child. And hand in hand, the church prayerfully trains us for eternity, the heavenly home. Brother Brown, you know something that I don't know? No. I don't know something that you don't know. I know something that you may be overlooking, but I don't know something that you don't know. Well, why are you preaching that sermon? Because it's in the Bible. And God didn't put it there for naught. We just need to be reminded, number one, and also encouraged, number two. And I think I've done both this morning. Reminded you and shared also with that this is a very loving church. We thank God for you. We know that 100% no. Jesus didn't even have 100%, and he picked the 12. But he didn't have 100%. We thank God for each other. But we are workers together. We are to be helpers one of another. Now, the Bible wouldn't talk about that so much, about how this person was very faithful in serving God, both Old Testament and New Testament, if that wasn't important. It's important that we work together. It's important that we be concerned about one another. It's important that we love. And notice the Bible doesn't say you're supposed to like him. You're supposed to like her. It puts the same word with him when he's referring to his son. He refers to us. He sent his son, whom he loved. But he also loved us. That's why he sent his son. He was willing to share his son for folk who didn't, from our perspective, who didn't deserve it. Jesus came. He had the love of his father. That means he had his father working with him. And even when he died, who raised him from the dead? Did Peter do it? Did James do it? Did John do it? It was his father who raised him from the dead. He wanted to please his father because this is what he wanted. The Son of God wanted to please God. We are the adopted sons and daughters of God. Jesus has set the example as to how we ought to respond in our relationship to God. I get along with you. You may not be that get alongable with that he get together to get along with. But I do it because I know what the Father did. Jesus even loved the one that he loved that sinned against him. You know who I'm talking about? His name started with a J. Let us learn to love one another. Let me rephrase that for this church. Let us learn to better learn how we can love one another. And let us not give up on growing in love. It's amazing. The request that was made last Sunday, you remember? That was mentioned again when the brother was taking up the offering, about the special offering and why it was needed. And the way he said it just like he loved one another, loved all of us. And he did. He does. And he also said it like he was talking to people that loved him and loved what he was talking about. The God. Because we're talking about the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'll take it off tonight's sermon. You say, what's that? You know what that is. I don't even have to tell you. But this is December. This is the last month in this year. We want to start off, boom, and don't slow down. Personally, collectively, in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Go beyond what's expected. Brothers? No. Brothers. Brothers.
Yes, sir.
We are representatives of Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our brother. His goal was to please His Father.
Amen.
Let us be first class sons of God.
Amen.
Examples for the sisters and the children of the church. So that, Brother, one of the ways we can do that, Brother McCullough would have to say, would y'all bring in some more chairs? When he's giving out assignments, don't have to hunt for somebody to give an assignment. Well, we need another brother to pray. Would you see if anybody's still in the auditorium that hadn't come in?
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to make it clear. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to make it clear. You wouldn't do that. The lesson is yours. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. But church, in my mind, I'm going to let you have this and then I'm going to close. In my mind, what I know about our Father, in my mind, I'm just so excited about God blessing us to come this far physically with this building. In my mind. And you know what? In my mind, I believe that we have more than enough people to finish it. No, you didn't. No. I don't know if you heard me well. I said, we have, right now, more than enough people to finish this building. All we need to do is have everyone that's faithful to the Lord to have the mindset that we're going to finish it. Won't be in one day. It might take us a whole week to do it. But we can do it. We are God's children. How do you think we got here? What have we lost? What have we lost? We know God hadn't lost any of His wisdom. He hasn't lost any of His strength. He hasn't lost any of His power. And if we are living in a relationship with God, we haven't lost any of ours. Oh, I can remember the excitement that we had. Oh, Brother Brown. Yeah. You have the lesson. December lesson. Make your calling and election sure. Where are you tonight? I mean this morning. You need prayer? We do that here. We pray for one another. You need to be reinstated with God? You come. Ask for forgiveness. The Lord hears. We will hear. We will pray on your behalf. And He will restore you. He won't tell you that I'll watch over you. I'll watch you and I'll restore you if you keep going about 30 days and then I'll restore. No. It happens right now. You're forgiven. With Him and with us. Are you a child of God? Are you in the family of God? Have you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? His Son came to earth and He only built one church. Only church you read about in the Bible is the Church of Christ. By name, Church of Christ. How do I become a member of it? Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Be godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you've lived to this point in your life. This morning, confess your faults. Confess the fact, not your false confess the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Because we might be here all day if we're talking about confessing faults. Peace. And then be buried in water baptism. Be buried in water baptism. But if you watch this, listen. Be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. You hear that? When you obey the gospel, God forgives you of every sin that you've ever committed. Right then. And he doesn't stop there. He adopts you as his son or daughter. So from that moment on, you're a child of God. We become your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Ain't that good news? He don't say, well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow and watch you. No. He forgives you then, adds you to his family. You're saved. And if you live according to his will, when he calls you off the time, calls you off the planet of time, guess what? You'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. Ain't that good news? And live forever with him in eternity. You've been a patient audience this morning, and I thank God for you. We're going to be standing. We're going to be singing a song of encouragement. If you want to come, if you need to come, make up your mind. As we together stand, you come.
Come from the lonesome way of sin, hide you in the blood of Jesus.